Our scripture for today comes from Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians, chapter 1, reading verses 1 through 10. Hear the word of the Lord. Paul, Silas, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians, in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace. We always give thanks to God for all of you and mention you in our prayers constantly, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers and sisters, beloved by God, that he has chosen you because our message of the gospel came to you not in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. Just as you know what kind of persons we proved to be among you for your sake. And you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for in spite of persecution, you received the word with joy, inspired by the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. For the word of the Lord has sounded forth from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but in every place your faith in God has become known, so that we have no need to speak about it. For the people of those regions report about us what kind of welcome we had among you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve a living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the wrath that is coming. May God bless this reading, hearing, and understanding of this, his holy word. Would you pray with me? Father God, we come with many things upon our mind. Father, help us to set all of this aside for the next few minutes, and may the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable to you, for it is in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. So, I decided I'd talked enough about Matthew, so we're going to talk about Thessalonians for a little bit. Now, with every letter that Paul has written, we must keep in mind that he is not trying to write a theology book. He is writing a letter to a specific city dealing with specific things that are going on in that city. And as such, we need to remember to read Paul's epistles with from a historical perspective, in order to understand what he is saying. So this week we're in Thessalonians, and this was the letter that Paul wrote. He wrote this at the end of his second journey in Corinth, and he had been there as part of that second pastoral journey. So Paul sent Silas and Timothy back to check on things, and they've come back and they've reported, and that inspired Paul to write his letter. So he starts out, as he always does, with his very unique and poignant greeting to his audience. And then he starts in, "We always give thanks to God for all of you and mention you in our prayers consistently." Paul got driven out of the city by people that didn't like what he was doing. The church there suffered persecution because of that. But when Silas and Timothy went back, they found a thriving community of believers who, even though they had been persecuted against, were doing great things. Paul continues, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Thessalonica was, I think, it was the exception to the rule, because there wasn't a whole lot of stuff that Paul needs to be correcting. I mean, if you read, especially if you read Corinthians, he's trying to set them straight. But here, Paul is talking about what the church has been doing and how good that it is. He talks about your work of faith, labor of love, steadfastness of hope, and our Lord Jesus Christ. So faith, hope, and love. Well, that's a familiar thing to Paul. You know, he talks about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And if you think about it, faith, hope, and love, it's a good basis for our lives. It's also a good foundation for the church. And what I think Paul is saying here is this foundation in a congregation is doing works of faith, labors of love, and being steadfast in hope of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because let's face it, if you don't have faith, hope, and love, anything that we do as a congregation is going to be somewhat half-hearted. And we're not called to be half-hearted. We are called to be fully committed to what we are asked to do. It's an active thing. Getting out there. I mean, it talks about work of faith. Work is action. Work is doing something other than just attending church one day a week. Labors of love. I've spoken about this, when I was talking about the vineyard. We have the love of God. We have the love of Jesus Christ. We have the love that Jesus demonstrated by his going to the cross. And this is something that we are not supposed to hold on to. We are supposed to spread it around. And the steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's face it. The world today it seems a little bit hopeless. Every day we hear things on the news about nations fighting, about communities fighting. Where's the hope? Where is the hope? Why should this church even do anything? Because there is no hope in general. Well, we do things because of our faith, because of our love, and we do it in the hopes that we are given from God and from Jesus. All of the promises that Jesus gave to his disciples, we are the inheritors of that. We are inheritors in the Old Testament, where I forget who it was. I think it was David. Be strong and courageous. No, it's Joshua. Be strong and courageous. Joshua's got to lead the people into the promised land, and it's not going to be just walking in, unfortunately. The same thing for us. When we leave this place and we go out into the world, yeah, there's a lot of things going on, and yes, we personally are not going to have that big of an effect on things. However, what we can do makes a difference. Much like the story of Gideon, where God did a lot with a little, it's the same thing in our lives. All that we can do is what we can do to affect change in our country today. Later on, starting in verse 6, and you became imitators of us and of the Lord. In spite of persecution, you received the word with joy, inspired by the Holy Spirit. It may be a little bit cliche, but we are to be imitators of Jesus Christ in all that we say and do. We need to imitate what Christ has done. What did Christ do when he was faced with sinners? Did he give them a good dressing down and scolding? No, he said, you know what? You've messed up. You haven't lived right, but you know what? That's okay. I still love you. I forgive you. Go off and sin no more. What did Jesus do when there were the large crowd, the feeding of the 5,000? What did he do? He fed them. He preached comfort where it needed to be preached. And said, and he also accused the people that needed to be accused. Usually it was the priests and the Pharisees. So what this says is, if we are going to have faith, if we are going to have hope, if we're going to have love as our congregational foundation and a foundation in our lives, we need to imitate Christ as much as possible, which means comforting the afflicted, afflicting the comfortable, feeding people, not being judgmental, but just saying, yep, you messed up. That's okay. You can get back on track. And you can make things better. And he talks about how they have done this across the region. But in every place, your faith in God has become known, so that we, being Paul, have no need to speak about it. In other words, you're doing what you're supposed to do. I have nothing else that I can take and I can add to it. This church is small. That's just reality. This church has faced a number of things in its past that, truthfully, I'm not 100% sure as we as a church have actually gotten past that. But what I do know is we, as a church and as individuals, We need to ask ourselves, do I have faith? Do I have love? Do I have hope? And what am I going to do with it? A strong foundation is a very good thing. But what is also important is what you take and build upon that foundation. Amen.